Well, joining us back in the studio now is Dr. Seth Moore. He is a wildlife biologist from Grand Portage, and we are fortunate enough to talk with him regularly here at WTIP. Thanks once again for coming in, Seth.
Sure thing, Kara. It's great to be here again.
You had an interesting week regarding moose.
Yeah, when I stopped by last week, I was actually on my way to a meeting to learn how to use some new collars that we're going to be deploying on moose in January. And these collars are satellite collars. They collect data and send that data to a satellite, and then we get that data sent to us electronically so we can keep track of where these moose are living basically 24/7. The other thing that's really cool about these collars is that when the animal is inactive for a period of time or when the animal dies, we actually get a message that the animal is exhibiting low activity, or we get a mortality signal. And so I'll actually get a text message letting me know exactly when these moose are not doing well or when they die. And when that's the case, we can actually get out on the ground and get to that moose, get good samples from that recently dead moose so that the veterinary diagnostic labs can identify a cause of death. So one of the goals of this study, in addition to looking at long-term habitat use, is also trying to identify what the causes of mortality are in the moose herd.
Well, that's an ongoing study, and it's been going for a while now. Are you getting any closer to really making a decision on what it is?
There's two answers to that question. You know, the first study that we took on with these long-term moose collars was looking at habitats that moose are using, and then hopefully we could make some management decisions to maintain and protect those types of habitats. And so that part of the study is ongoing. We've had data collected for that, and we've been identifying the types of habitat that moose are using. And so now I can work with our forestry department and try to develop habitat designed to benefit moose. And so the second phase of the study is getting longer duration collars so that we can see how moose are responding to the habitat modifications that we make. We want to see if what we're doing is effective or if it's simply spinning our tires. So if we can see how the moose are responding to the habitat changes we make, it'll give us a good idea of whether or not we should carry on doing what we're doing.
So give us an example of changes to habitat or work that you guys are doing based on this research.
Sure. There are a number of different activities that we can do to produce moose habitat. You know, some of those activities include different things that we can do with logging practices, ways that we cut forests such that they produce moose browse or moose thermal cover. The other things that we can do are implementing prescribed burns so that we get a different type of forest cover produced than, say, a cutting operation. And then other things that often happen are called shearing, where you go through and shear browse to maintain it at a certain level. So we're going to try a few different habitat activities in Grand Portage, and then we'll measure how effective they've been in terms of moose use of that habitat.
Okay. Well, recently I've seen reference to the DNR issuing fewer antlerless permits for the past deer season in order to increase the deer herd. And I know that the problem with moose has been linked to deer. So what do you think of that decision?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, that's a question that's more of a societal question, you know, rather than we may have to make some philosophical choices to manage for moose or to manage for deer. You know, my professional belief is that part of the moose herd decline is related to deer through a number of different vectors. I think that brainworm are infecting moose. Deer are a native host for brainworm. I think that liver flukes are infecting moose. I think that predation is affecting moose. All three of those factors are directly tied to a larger deer herd than has historically been here. But society ultimately makes the choice. And so we'll have to decide as a society whether we want to try to grow the deer herd or to protect the moose herd, or at least that's what I see coming in upcoming years.
Well, I guess different parts of the state want different things.
Right, and my hope, honestly, is that we maintain deer at a much lower level on the landscape in this northern zone where moose still exist, and that we try to maintain deer populations such that they aren't growing at a high rate just for those reasons.
Right. Want to remind our listeners, we are talking with Dr. Seth Moore from Grand Portage Trust Lands. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about the recent Moose meeting that you attended?
Yeah, the Moose meeting itself was Moose researchers from across the state of Minnesota getting together just to describe where they are in different phases of their research, share that information out to the other researchers, because a lot of us work together on different projects. And so just getting information out there on what the different projects are really helps us to work together to be most effective in managing the moose herd and understanding what the causes of the moose population decline.
You're just talking about the different research that you're all doing and sort of where you're at with the research?
Yeah, this was the second meeting, the second annual meeting of this group. Last year we met and it was a forum where we really discussed where we need to go, what projects should be done. This year was more of an informational meeting where a lot of the projects that had been begun, we really needed to share some of the results of those and inform everybody of where the projects are at. Next year, I think we're going to intend to stretch this meeting into a two-day meeting where part of it is sharing some results and part of it is discussion on where we need to go into the future.
And in the meantime, the moose are dying at a pretty high rate.
They are dying at a high rate, but also we're doing everything that we can in the research and management world to try to prevent that from occurring.
Well, in light of what took place in northwestern Minnesota, which in a very short time, thousands of moose disappeared from the landscape, do you honestly think that there's anything that can be done to save the moose in northeastern Minnesota?
That's a great question, and I guess I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I didn't think that there were some things that we could do to change that. I mean, from a biology management standpoint, we can manage harvests, we can manage the landscape, to some extent we can manage predators, to some extent we can manage some of these vectors that might cause parasite transmission into moose or disease transmission into moose. And so the way I see it from a wildlife management standpoint is that we can implement an aggressive deer harvest to reduce deer numbers, which would prevent two different parasites from getting into the moose herd. We can also implement predator control, and there has been a wolf harvest, or we can manage deer populations, both of which would potentially control some level of predation on moose. We can manage the landscapes through prescribed burning or timber harvest to produce moose habitat. And so I guess the way I look at it is if we can break some of the vectors that are decreasing the moose population, in my personal opinion, if we break a couple of these vectors, we may be able to turn around the moose population decline to some extent.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, these are just my own professional opinions. Yeah, I certainly can't speak for any of the other people working on these projects.
I mean, do you think that the DNR would be open to that, to really aggressive reduction of the deer population, at least in this region? Because I know there's a lot of pressure from other angles, you know, hunting groups and financial pressures on the DNR that might, you know, make that a hard decision for them.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic question, and that's discussion that in this moose researcher group, we talk about these issues all the time. And I do think that there's enough of a constituency with an interest in protecting the moose herd that we could get some different management strategies in place for this northeastern zone where moose still exist, and that would be the likely scenario. There will be zones that are managed more aggressively for a high deer population, and there'll be areas that are managed more aggressively for a high moose population. But those are the discussions that need to happen, and then defining what those areas are and what those management strategies are some of the things that we talk about.
Great. Was there anything that you'd like to add, Seth?
Not on the moose. I have a bit of trivia for you.
Great.
You know, one of the things I talk about all the time with moose is the fact that the brainworm are transmitted into moose from deer. And those are transmitted into moose from deer through snails and slugs that actually eat deer feces. And then the brainworm larvae end up in the snails and slugs and are actually inadvertently eaten by moose and transferred into the moose. And so what I learned about slugs and snails is that that slugs actually have four noses. And my daughter Hannah gave me that piece of trivia.
I didn't know slugs even had noses.
Yeah, I think each of those little
things that stick out
on the end. I should know that
proboscis
term.
Proboscis? No, that's exact, from... that's
proboscis, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to bring her back in to deliver some more trivia in person.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Seth Moore.
Sure thing. Thanks, Kara.